morning, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting. Hello, Clarence.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Got your hearing thing going?
Sure.
Okay. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter. Here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
President McCownfor. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented?
Move to adopt as
presented. Oh, I'm sorry. We do need to modify the agenda. Action item number 12.
11.
Action item number 11 says schedule a hearing. We are not talking about scheduling a hearing, just to approve or not approve. So we're going to scratch the schedule here. So do I have a motion to adopt,
the adopted agenda?
Modified agenda. Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. On June 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., all are invited to St. Matthew's Church picnic. Take place at 130 St. Matthew Street on the parish grounds.
I have one correction on that. We only go to 3:30.
We only go to 3:30. Okay. So get there early. Lots of fun, right?
It is.
And Walk to Cure Arthritis is also on June 2nd at Green Isle Park. It's a reoccurring event. We do this on an annual basis. It starts at 9 o'clock and ends at 12 o'clock. If you would like more information, you can go to arthritis.org. Or Pete, or you can email Phil Melnarek at pmelnarek@arthritis.org. The week of May 19th through 25th, we show our appreciation for our public works departments. It is Public Works, National Public Works Week. The title is It Starts Here. It is the 2019 National Public Works Week theme. Promoting the importance of our public works services, infrastructure, innovation, mobility, public safety, and health communities are all things that start with public works. Public works professionals contribute to the services that are indispensable to our way of life. The Village of Alloway wishes to thank all those working in parks, streets, engineering, and water and sewer for their continued dedication to the residents of Alloway. Thank you very much. Any other announcements from staff? Any other announcements from board members? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'd like to request that at the next meeting agenda that an item be added to discuss the oddities involved in the capital improvement project for, I'm in the middle of something, thank you.
Yes, you are.
For the capital improvement project and budgeting and bonding on West St. Joseph Street.
Okay, Jim, stop. Did you contact Brad?
I have been talking with Brad.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what did I instruct last week?
Those.
When you asked permission, when you asked to have something put on the village board agenda, I said go to Brad, talk to Brad, and if he thinks something should be brought to the board, he'll do it. Did you meet with him? Did you meet with Brad? Brad, did he meet with you? Okay. Please sit down, sir. We are happy to help, but you have to follow the rules.
Your rules? Brad didn't contact me until much later. I've requested documents. I've requested that this be on the agenda for next week.
Yep, and I said sit down with him, talk to him. If he thinks it should come to the board, he will bring it to the board.
You denied it already, so Jim requested documents to make sure that it goes.
Mr. Matuzak.
Slower than usual.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
Glad to see you back.
That was Lynn.
Thank you.
We're all happy to see you.
2680 South Webster Avenue. Oh, let me say first off, as I like quote Mark Twain, that the rumors regarding my demise were grossly exaggerated. I guess you don't want me to address agenda items until you get to them, but then I will have an opportunity to speak on them.
Yes, sir. What item would you like to speak on when you get there?
Number six. Number 10 and 11.
Okay, I have your name down.
Okay. However, I have some comments and ramblings, if you'll bear with me for a few minutes.
You will.
I made it with myself whether I should bring this up or not, but since it's mostly complimentary, I'm sure you won't.
Please continue.
Okay, I have to rely on my notes because I'm old and I forget four. I also thank the village employees for the card they sent me, and there was one board member that came and visited me, and I appreciate that very much. Anyhow, I've mentioned or alluded to this in the past, and now I'll make it firm. This board and the immediate past board before Mr. Sampson came on, and when we had the fire chair, this is the best board we've had in over 50 years of either honor. Now, these are all my personal opinions. Hopefully they're worth something.
Thank you.
Sometimes I disagree with some of the action of the entire board, occasionally with individuals, but that's a part of the process, and I can live with that, and my compliment still stands. Because this board is all involved. I see no access to grind. We also now have inside track here with the City Hall. I couldn't resist that. And I've detected no private secret agendas by any board member, which is all good. And it has not always been the case in the past. So, in all respects. Again, my observation is that you've got an excellent staff right now. The appointment of Brad and now Sean, I think you're an improved employee immensely. Now, how do I know this? People still talk to me. Okay. After all these years, for whatever reason. Call me the big head. After 26 years, we've got a real BPW director again, I think. Why are we going to stop our way home if necessary? It is boosting if necessary. And review past practices. I'm very impressed with him so far. Today, Brad stops on the way home sometimes too. And I used to do that. That's the way it's supposed to be done. They work 8 to 5. But he works so many hours. If you talk to him a lot, he gets something on. Our positions have changed since my day to his day. The emphasis is different, and I recognize that. So, now, a little ego coming into play here. I think that Brad and I are now equal as the best administrator.
He's finally catching up.
He is the best work we've ever had. And I remember I'm coming about almost 52 years. The other staff members are the best I've seen. They're good staff people. And they seem to be a good cohesive group, according to my looking at. In my day, we were not as well educated, most of us were, and we were a make-do can-do-will-do group. This group seems to be a will-do, can-do, or can-do, will-do, and they've got better support from the Lord, so they don't have to make-do quite as much as we did. That's a few more things, yes, I'm not too bad. That's a part of the city. I'm a citizen, a knowledgeable citizen, I think. I'm happy to be things your way. And you did very well when you come through these. Two things, though. A reminder that don't lose sight of basic services. There have been some changes in recent years that I've been uncomfortable with, and you have been putting some emphasis on some other areas, and I think you've got a return. One that comes to mind, and maybe he's already looking at it, but the brush of yard waste pickup, I don't like what was done, and I don't like what currently exists, and I think it bears a review by Brad and Sean to see if it can be get closer to what it used to be, a little bit more user-friendly, if you will. Okay. And the other thing, one thing I have to give a reminder, and again, it's an opinion that I have very strongly, I think you should reinstate the board staff meetings that we had usual. I think they're very, very important in that it might be a little bit of show and tell, but you become better informed that way, and if you're better informed, you do an even better job. Got enough for one night?
Very much so. Sorry. Thank you very much, Clarence.
All right.
Thank you for those kind words.
Okay, you're welcome.
And the constructive criticism.
Was there a question? Oh, it was hardly out a little bit.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to say something that, or talk about something that's not on this evening's agenda?
Oh, that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5, action regarding police service contract. Mr. Lang.
All right. There's a couple things to make note of the contract. We've been in discussion since March of 2018 for the 2019 through 2021 contract. The reason that things have taken longer has been our basic disagreement in the investigation costs to the village, to the residents of the village. And once that was looked in further into, it was determined that the investigation costs are occurring due to the number of incidences at GBCI. So actually our residents are very well behaved. It's a lot more calls going to GBCI. With that being said, we have been working with Attorney Gass, Corporate Counsel, and the Sheriff to come up with a memorandum of understanding of how we can rectify this differences in the amount of funds that are going towards the investigation. That has been going on for many months, this memorandum of understanding, and in the course of that taking place, we did reach out, Julie and I, to Senator Cole's office, and Senator Cole's office took the lead on getting some legislation changes, or at least some budget appropriations to help offset those costs. And as of today, the Joint Finance Committee has accepted the motion placed by Senator Coles to allocate $60,000 to the village in the budget. So it's a real real positive for both the village and the county, so we can continue moving forward. Excuse me. But that being said, whether or not the memorandum of understanding is still in need, we haven't had a chance to talk to Attorney Gass yet, nor have we spoken with the sheriff or corporate counsel to see if this memorandum of understanding still needs to be in place. My understanding is if this appropriation stays in the budget, that that would be a direct payment to the Village of Alloy. So therefore, then there wouldn't be that call.
We wouldn't need
the wrong county, they have to have a check back to the Village of Alloy. If the memorandum of understanding is still required or deemed necessary, I think that's one of the pieces of the language that we'd like to insert, that this, as we continue to work through this potential other additional funds, maybe, that that language is understood in the contract as well.
Okay, and that's $60,000 a year for the budget.
Correct.
And so that's in the budget, though. It's the budget still has to get approved, and it has to survive the entire process.
Exactly.
Okay.
The contract that we're currently under, if I read it correctly, and I'm sure Attorney Gass has read it, that it automatically rolls for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So everything would stay the same with a 1 year rollover and a 3% increase over the previous year. We, in our first quarter payment, we made payment based on the contractual 2019 payment that would be asked for from the village. So, you know, we're doing our due diligence to make sure that we're honoring those funds. But the question is whether or not this stays in the budget is a good question. If it doesn't stay in the budget, I don't know what else we can really do to, other than maybe some additional legislation changes, but that probably won't take place for quite some time to get that rolling as well. So the sheriff is asking, or corporate counsel is asking, that we at least sign a contract and then continue to work with the memorandum of understanding. I don't know if Attorney Gass has any additional comments.
I think Brad adequately, you know, summarized what's been going on. There is really no realistic prospect at all that we're going to see a significant negotiated reduction in the investigative cost element of the contract. The sheriff's, you know, pretty firm that the number isn't the number. We've been negotiating a memorandum of understanding, and the county was amenable to entering into one such that the county would explore the option of additional funding to the county or the village for these increased investigative costs. And they were, you know, the memorandum of understanding that we were talking about indicated the sheriff would request a resolution from the county board, and the attempt to procure legislation to offset these investigative costs to GVCI. Now that this has recently happened, through Senator Cole's office, and my hat's off to him for ushering this through, since Alloy sits in a relatively unique position in having to, you know, contract for police services and the sheriff's department, and it just puts us, you know, out of the mix. And I mean, if it happens to somebody else, you know, the county will typically pick those costs up as a county function. But since we have to contract for services, it's kind of fallen to the village's doorstep in terms of these investigative costs. So with the legislation Senator Coles has got through Budget Committee, assuming it passes, probably wouldn't be a need for the memorandum of understanding. What we're talking about is basically if the county did get funding from the state, they would treat that as an offset to the village's, you know, reimbursement obligation. So if the payment's made directly to the village, there's no need for that memorandum of understanding at all going forward. So I looked at the proposed contract, and I guess I would recommend to the board approve that contract going forward. Brown County Corporation Council and the sheriff have expressed some reluctance to continue to provide police services with no contract in place, indicating that if we don't have a contract by the end of the month, they may curtail services because they have some concern over authority to act because we don't have a signed contract in place. I beg to differ with that a little bit since it does provide a rolls over for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get into that fight, or I don't know that the ability wants to get into that fight with any curtailment of the Sheriff's Department services while we fight about that. Litigation potentially, and that's expensive. And even though it would roll over for the 1 year at the existing rate, they'll sock it to us, you know, the next year when there is no contract and no roll over. So I think, you know, we'll just pay that much more at the time of renewal. And it's up to the village board, you know, in terms of whether it wants to explore different options, you know, going forward beyond this extension to 2020. Yeah. I mean, that's up to the board's prerogative, whether other options might be entertained. Just to a certain extent, I think the Sheriff's Department kind of has this over a barrel, you know, in terms of cost and what they'll accept in terms of negotiation of those cost elements. Because, you know, as it sits, you know, presently we really don't have any other alternative in terms of police services. I know we looked at that several years ago in terms of starting our own police department, with Bellevue perhaps. That's up to the board, but that's more of a political decision. I know the Green Bay Alloway Fire Department contract worked out very well, or has been working out very well and looking amicably. So that's something to consider, but I recommend they approve this contract for the end of 2021 so there is no curtailment of services. The center closes a wonderful job and has at least got us $120,000 over 2 years, assuming it passes, to offset those costs, which really shouldn't be laid at the doorstep of the village of Alloway residents just because we seem to have a prison in our backyard. So I'd recommend approval. I think the balance of the contract, except the dispute over the investigative cost element, you know, it's pretty straightforward. I don't think there's any objection to any of the other provisions of the agreement. We tried to negotiate a rate for investigative cost, but that hasn't gotten there. So I recommend.
You're recommending approval of the contract without a letter of memo understanding.
The Sheriff's Department has indicated a willingness to further discuss that issue. In fact, let's assume this doesn't pass for whatever reason, Senator Cole's amendment to the budget. I have no doubt that the county would go back to the language they proposed and said, well, this didn't work. But the county, as an entity itself, will take on the laboring oar of trying to get a resolution passed to urge the state to pass that kind of allocation in the future. So I don't think that we risk anything, you know, with signing it without an MOU. And if those payments from Senator Cole's efforts are direct to the village, we don't need one at all.
Right. Do you recommend there is an MOU to be signed, correct?
There's a draft version that's been going back and forth.
Okay.
I think we'll talk further, I think, with the county and corporation council. Once once we see where we're at with Senator Poles and his process, and like I said, if that passes, there's no need for an MOU. If it doesn't pass, I fully expect that the county would default back to their last position and say, hey, we will try to get that funding, and if that funding is provided, we'll treat it as an offset to your investigative cost element in the contract once it's signed.
Okay. Is there a... There's not a representative? Sheriff Delane's not here? Or, okay.
Sheriff's not here.
Yes.
The memorandum of understanding, does that... The time frame for that correspond with the contract time frame?
A memorandum of understanding can be entered into at any point in time. You know, we can do that after the contract signed. It doesn't have to be done before the contract signed. It's just... It's kind of an amendment also, or an addendum to the agreement. So I think we'll see how the dust settles with what's going on with Senator Coles. And if that doesn't pass, then we'll reinstitute the memorandum of understanding discussion, which basically just said the county will do what it can to get that funding. And if it's provided, we'll treat it as a dollar-for-dollar offset to the Village of Alloway's financial obligation under the contract.
Any other questions for Brad or Attorney Guest? Okay, I'll accept the motion on this item. Trustee Genrich.
I move to adopt and approve the public service contract as presented.
Police service contract?
Yes. Please send us contact.
Trustee Harris?
Second.
Any discussion? I don't like the term held over a barrel. I would think that we could have gotten an extension to figure out what's going on with the budget. But if the Sheriff's Department is threatening reduced services because we don't have an agreement, when in fact the previous agreement said there is a one-year rollover, right?
Correct.
At an increase, an agreed to increase, which we're already paying. Any other comments, thoughts? Okay. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And none of this has anything to do with the great services provided by our DEO, Jason Vogel. Jason for sheriff. Action item, or number six, action regarding Hillcrest Home PDD for Haven Way condo expires. Request for extension. Mr. Lang.
This was brought to the board a couple years ago, and then again last year with the understanding that a one-year extension was given while Mr. Mako was still working through his father's estate. And so the request from Mr. Mako is to, again, extend that. And Mr. Mako is here tonight to answer any questions.
Okay, do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Harris. Seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, sir. How are you tonight, Mr. Mako?
Very good.
Good. So, what's the scoop?
What's the scoop? Like you say, we're still working.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark, could you give us your name and address, please?
Sure. Mark Mako. I live at 1204 Livingston Street on the east side of Green Bay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so like the what we said, we're still working through my dad's estate. It's obviously when he was alive, I don't think he slept at all because he was a very busy guy, very proud of what stuff he did. And we're just not at a point yet, you know, to move forward to build on that chunk of land. I have had other investors come to ask about to build on it, and I kind of told them what we kind of wanted, and they wanted to put apartment houses on it, so I kind of didn't go any further with the developers that have asked about that. So it'd be our intent to continue the project just like it we stated in 2016 or 2015 when we changed them to a ranch style. But when that will take place, all I can see is the estate's going really good, but we're just not there yet.
When do you think it might be there?
I would have thought 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I've never done an estate before, and it's myself and two other siblings, and we're having a ton of fun. It's going good, but just taking way more time than what we thought, that's for sure. So
I'm looking for an extension. What kind of an extension are you looking for?
I asked on the letter there for two years, and I do appreciate that you did give us extensions over the last few years. And at some point in time, just got to get off the pot, you know. So I'll take, you know, if it's only a year, we'll only do a year. If we get 2 years, that'd be awesome.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Mako?
Is the hope to create how many ranch-style condos? Potential.
There might be eight buildings. I'd have to relook at that plan, but it's pretty much the appearance is exactly the same as what's there now. Ones there are two stories, and then we take it down to ranch style, and then just continue right back, you know, on right behind the existing buildings, and then right next to the existing buildings all the way back.
So it could be as many as how many duplexes in a sense, right? Twin?
No, there'd be eight units. Each building would have eight units in it.
Oh, okay.
So, if you want to see a plan or something, I can get you a plan of what our intent is.
And the price point on those?
When we looked at it in 2015, I believe they were right around that $200,000 mark each unit. But with the cost of everything, it's going to be more than that at this stage. The last time I looked at it, from what they each unit would sell for.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Makov? Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Yep. Clarence?
I've only got one full list. I didn't have any last one. Clarence, 2680 South Webster Avenue. I'm not here at Mr. Makov's request, although he knows that it's probably going to come here. I'm supporting his request for a number of reasons. He can confirm this if my impressions are wrong. But though this year, I think the condo market has been kind of soft. Nobody was building them, they weren't selling. And they got stuck with that. But of course, with Harry's death, I know that's been obvious again. I knew Harry for 50 years, and he has fingers in a lot of pies. You know, that doesn't get solved real easy. So primarily, I would like to support that. I can't think of a better use for that. I'd rather not see apartments, although that would be my second choice. I can't see a further extension of those assisted living facilities. I can't see commercial there, so I don't know what else would work. And in all truthfulness, I might have an interest in our condo, so I'll make that up front. But whether, because I considered once before and rejected it, and I might reconsider it, so I wouldn't be above board on that. Because that's not the reason I'm supporting it, it's just that, in fairness, Mark's had a good track record of his developments in Alloway for more than 50 years. And, sometimes controversial, but he always did, to my mind, a pretty good job. And I don't see that that's going to change. And I urge you to grant him that extension.
Thank you.
And one thing that I've got in my comments, and you will be in our interest, I think it might be time this fall, at budget time, that you look whether it might be appropriate for the trustees to wage adjustment. It's been a long, long time. They finally adjusted the president, which should have gotten that number of years ago. So, let's put that in the hat.
Thank you, Clarence.
All right. I'll be back.
You're full of good news tonight. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this? Hearing none, I'll take...
I just have a question.
Sure. Please come on up. You give us your name and address, please.
Mary Sue Banks, and I live in the condo. This is 1999 libel. If they would sell the property to someone to build apartments, does something have to be changed as far as the development request?
It would go through the Planning Commission and
now
zoning.
Now it's approved for condos, correct? Yeah. So if they wanted to build apartments, there would be a different request for that? Okay.
Yep.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to pick up the rules.
So moved.
Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. I'll accept the motion on this item. Trustee Harris.
I would move that we grant a one-year extension of the PDD project, recognize how complex it can be to settle an estate, but we keep going just on an annual basis and also get a in-person update each June just to see where we're headed. I think that would be the best plan moving forward, in my opinion.
Okay. Seconded by?
Trustee Green.
Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 1 year extension, Mr. Mockham.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Action item number 7, adoption of resolution 2019-19, awarding the sale of $5,665,000 in general obligation corporate purpose bonds, Series 2019A. Julie.
Sir, we have got Greg Johnson. Greg Johnson from Ellers here to explain this.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Good evening to all of you. I should have a copy of the sale report that summarizes the bond sale for the village. Just to kind of quick recap, the issuance of the bonds is preliminary authorized last month by the village board. And if you recall, this is funding your 2019 capital improvement projects, consists of some of your core infrastructure projects, streets, water, sewer, stormwater, and some park improvements as well, in addition to some of the projects within TID District Number 1. We conducted a competitive sale for the bonds this morning. We received a total of 6 bids. The winning bidder was submitted by FTN Capital Markets out of Memphis, Tennessee. The true interest cost came in at 2.5867%. We're able to downsize the bond issue, the cost of issuance expenses, and there was a premium bid submitted, so you are financing the same amount of projects but having to issue fewer bonds to pay for those projects, which is a good thing. So the total amount of the bond issue was reduced by $70,000. In terms of the total principal and interest over the life of the bonds, the net principal and interest came in $128,481 less than what we had estimated last month. So essentially rates came in better than expected. After the summary of the sale day report, following that is the bid tabulation, which just shows the rates and bids submitted by all 6 bidders. You'll see there was broad interest from underwriters in the region as well as underwriters nationally. The one item I wanted to direct your attention to in terms of the financial analysis, we've updated everything I presented last month, but you'll see on page 5, and there are page numbers in the lower right-hand corner. This is kind of the general summary of your existing debt profile and your projected tax levy and rate for debt service going forward. On the far left-hand side is all of your existing debt service payments. Several of your existing debt obligations are paid by non-levy revenue sources, water, sewer, stormwater specifically. So we have your net tax levy under the existing debt column. And then we show your tax rate for debt service on an equalized basis. In the center, under the proposed debt issues, we show the bonds with the final interest rates from the sale today. And then we show the various revenue sources that are being pledged to repay a portion of these bonds. All the sewer, water, and stormwater portions of the projects are anticipated to be paid by the respective utilities, and then the portion for TIF projects repaid from TID number 1 revenues. So we arrive under the levy and tax rate columns off to the far right-hand side. Your projected levy for debt service going forward with existing debt and these proposed bonds. So the levy impact is a little less than what we had estimated last month, just due to the fact that the interest rates came in more favorably. Also, what's included in the report is the village has done in the past. You received a rating for Moody's Investor Services. Your current rating of AA2 was affirmed by Moody's, so that's very good. I want to commend Brad and Julie. They did an excellent job of representing the village during the rating call, giving a very good overview of your financial condition and your economic development initiatives. I think the rating analysts left very pleased with all the positive things that are going on within the village. So I encourage you to review the rating report at your leisure. It gives a nice independent assessment of your overall financial condition. So the action that's before you this evening is a resolution to award the sale of the bonds. I provided a copy of that as well. I'll note that the amount of the resolution has been adjusted downward to reflect the bid results, so it's $5,595,000. And then if you award the sale, I will have a bid form that can be signed by the village president of court, which I'll just take with me, which we can have as evidence that everything was awarded. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your hard work.
Oh, my pleasure. We enjoy working with the village. You're a good community to work with, and your staff is very easy to work with. So thank you.
Quick question before it accepts down. The resolution, where is the document?
That's in the other document.
Under the sales report. I have an extra copy if you need it.
Right here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Now I'm looking. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Trustee Harris, any other questions?
No, that was it. I just misplaced that one in the pile here.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We have a motion from the floor to suspend the rules. So this is what you need us to sign?
Yes. If everything's approved.
Not this. Greg, do you need this signed, the resolution signed? Excuse me, Greg. Greg, do you need the resolution signed as well?
I did not this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. If we approve it. Yeah. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Harris, do I have a second? Trustee Sampson, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloy Pipe Bed Committee. I've been trying for a number of sessions to speak to this issue, but there's emergency bonding for the road reconstruction of West St. Joseph that wasn't budgeted for in the capital improvement project until a very late date. I had attended a presentation in 2016 by Mr. Rafter on the bonding and the capital improvement budgets at St. Matthew Street. I noticed that the sidewalks were not being included in the budgeting process. I sent him a letter and dated July 21st of 2016 along to the treasurer, and that resulted in a six-week tirade by Mr. Rafter against me in public, and that wasn't okay. But the point is that emergency reconstruction of West St. Joseph Street, which was supposed to be a $200,000 road reconstruction and is now a $900,000 complete, supposed to be a road resurfacing, and now it's a road reconstruction. And it's going to be right in front of the PDD, Planned Development District, for the Old Chapel Hill apartment complex. The point is that TID number one revenues should be used to pay for TID number one bonds, and you should not be using general revenue money to pay for TID projects. It's my understanding that that project is not going to be split 50-50, and it was supposed to be a $200,000 project and a $700,000 cost overrun on the $200,000 project deserves closer scrutiny. Thanks.
Have a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. Thank you. Okay, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve resolution 2019-19.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion?
I don't know if I can respond to some of the comments about emergency funding. I don't recall we ever used that word in discussing the improvements on St. Joseph Street. It's kind of, maybe that's semantics, maybe it's a minor point, but I didn't like the tone of where that was going and the alleged allegations of ballooning from 200 to 700 plus. None of that's factual information. I just want to point that out for the record.
That's true, and it's been corrected in public forum. So, anything else?
Yeah, just a general question. This is my first bond award. The fact that we had a favorable rate this year presumably allows you to do more projects. Or what's the effect on the next round of bonding, if any?
Who'd like to answer that question? Hey, you're here, you might as well.
So in our discussions with staff in terms of kind of your long-range capital improvement plan, I think the general plan of the village is to look at larger infrastructure projects every other year. So the general plan is to look at going into the bond market every other year in terms of doing financing. So you know, every time the village has gone into doing a looked at doing a capital financing like this one, we generally kind of go through the same planning and modeling and kind of look at interest rates at the time that you're going into the market, kind of do the same kind of analysis to look at what your projected impact would be on your tax levy, look at the utilities, if they're paying a portion of those rates, to make sure the utility rates are sufficient to cover the debt, and then similar, if there are TIF projects, making sure that the TIF cash flow can support those particular projects. We've been in a very low interest rate environment for a number of years. And so, you know, in terms of, I get this question often, you know, should we look at accelerating, you know, projects because we're in a more favorable interest rate environment? You know, I think I always say, you know, a well-executed bond sale and one that's well-planned is better than one that is maybe quickly executed because you think market conditions may quickly change. I think, you know, the village has been pretty deliberate in terms of when it goes into market. You know, we've tried to structure to keep the levy impact relatively manageable. So, I mean, as you're looking at your, I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Look at your capital improvement plan. And, you know, as you look at particular projects, because there's not only the interest rate environment, there's the bidding environment in terms of what, you know, what's favorable. But, you know, we do a fair amount of analysis to make sure that we're looking at doing a well-executed financing that fits your financial needs and also takes into account the bidding and interest rate environment.
Thank you. That's a kind of a rambling question. The answer, that's
the
question.
The answer was rambling as well.
No.
Thank you, Chris. Any other trustee Harris?
Trustee Sampson, I think also the other thing we try to take into account is when we're putting together our plan, you know, the five-year plan, whether it's for parks, whether it's for capital improvement, it's the plan moving forward. We to give ourselves some goals. We know we're going to make adjustments. It's not set in stone. There's no rules that say what we come up with for 2019 through 2024 or 2023 at this point. That has to, what we say in 2019 doesn't necessarily have to happen in 2021 or 2023. The plans are not necessarily fluid, but they're not set in stone. We have this guide, and if we continue to do what we're doing, the next time around, I think it'll continue to go smoothly.
Right. You can't lock it in stone because you don't know if it's 2.5% or whatever it was, 2.8 this time, and next time it could be 4.8.
Or the projects may change in scope.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious whether the fact that we're going to have low interest rates, as you pointed out, it's been pretty steady and low over the last few years, so that what we see here is what needed to be done according to the planning and nothing more. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion to approve the resolution and the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. To echo Greg's words, thank you to our staff for doing such a wonderful job
just
on this.
Signing our name at the
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Name and title. Mm-hmm. Here.
Yes.
In a roll call?
I think that might be better.
I'll tell you what, just to be safe, we'll take a roll call on that last vote. Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Genrich?
Aye.
Trustee Atwood?
Aye.
President Rafter? Aye. Trustee Dart?
Aye.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
Trustee Sampson?
Aye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Action item number 8, appointment of new agent for Quick Trip at 1030 located at 2203 South Webster Avenue. Do I have a motion on the item? Trustee Genrich?
Move to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 9, appointment of Board of Review member. I received an application from Mr. Michael Borowski. He lives in Arbor Lane. He has been a resident of Alloway since 1953. He has been the manager of employee relations for Procter & Gamble for 25 years. He's managed self-directed plans for Humana Insurance for 3 years. He has been employed as a manager of senior daycare programs for Curative for 3 years. He's been a real estate agent here in town, and his interests include tennis, bicycling, and pickleball. But he's been a longtime Village resident, and I had a very nice discussion with him. And he's at a stage in his life where he can give back, and he'd like to do so as part of the member of the Board of Review. And I would like to recommend his nomination to the committee. Do I have a motion on that? Trustee Sampson. Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Etlin. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much to Mr. Borowski. Would you like to keep that? Action item number 10, request for smaller than required parking stalls at 3200 Riverside Drive, Willowbrook Office Building. Trevor.
Yes, so as the memo states, Willowbrook Office Building is looking at doing an expansion project on their parking lot. To accommodate some additional employees there as a result of recent renovation there. So the request is, our standard is 10 by 20. The request is for 9 by 20 stalls, so a foot narrower than what is required. And that is because both they want to limit the impacts on the trees that are there, the amount of impervious surface that they add, and then as well as there are some cost savings involved as well. They are treating, they're providing a stormwater treatment for the added parking space. Plan Commission did discuss this at the April meeting, and they did provide some their comments or questions that they discussed in the memo.
I saw what was discussed, and one question was, does the smaller size provide enough room for larger vehicles? What was the answer to that question?
I guess that's a matter of opinion. I think standard around the area is 9 by 18. You find that in most communities. However, 10 by 20 does provide for additional room, elbow room. So, I mean, I think the state code allows something as narrow as 8 feet. I would not recommend that, but 9 is adequate. But again, it's really a matter of opinion.
Okay. And this is basically private parking for their own employees. I was surprised that they have a need, only because I don't know much about what they do. So I drove through there yesterday morning. And it was pretty full. And they've got a lot of parking back there, so it makes some sense. And this would just be their clientele, not the general public, per se. Correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
So as a result, so they did do I believe, just over $1 million renovation to the building to accommodate additional employees for Treehouse Foods. I believe they went from roughly 150 employees there to just north of 300, but then that just accounts for Trios Foods. There's also Nielsen operates out the lower level of that building, too.
Okay. Any other questions? You want to do a motion or a question?
I have a comment, and then I'll make a motion. Okay. I'm not generally in favor of these smaller stalls, and certainly not for the public. We have issues with snow. We have issues with where things go. We have issues with bigger vehicles. They've got some big parking spots, which is good because it can accommodate those, and these can accommodate compact vehicles. So that being said, I'll approve the motion for this one. So I would move to approve this, but I don't want anybody to construe that I'm in favor of doing this for any public park.
Okay.
Can I just say one thing real quick?
Is that okay?
I guess I'd like to point out that the typical parking stall for Walmart is 9 by 18. We've all been to Walmart. We've parked in those stalls and been able to maneuver around. I own a truck. 9 by 18 is a standard stall width. 10 by 20, that is a large parking stall. I guess I've never heard of that size before, in all honesty. I put together a lot of site plans, and typically you design a 9 by 18 foot stall, parking stall, and you provide 22 or 24 foot driveway aisle. So.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Green, can I ask you to hold on your motion? I promised I'd open the floor for Mr. Matuza.
I have a quick question first. Yep. Trevor, I wanted to clarify. The existing stalls would stay their size, and just the new ones that they're adding would be the go to 9 foot. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so they would still have 10-foot stalls in a majority of the parking lot. It would be a portion that would be 9 foot.
Correct. And this was a question brought up at the Planning Commission. And I believe some of the stalls currently are 9 foot widths, and some are 10. They have a kind of a mix.
Understood. Thank you.
But this motion would give them the opportunity, if they ever restripe their parking lot, to go to 9 foot stalls. Or are we just being asked this?
I think it's just the additional stalls.
Okay.
I just want to remind us that yellow is pretty little. You don't really need giant stalls here. I mean, I think we have to start thinking about, I mean, there was the same thing with the roads. We had different roads. I don't remember the detail on that, but it was kind of the same thing. It was bigger than what was necessary, and I think maybe these stalls are bigger than what is necessary as well. There's only so much parking here, and if we want some development, we have to have a place for these people to go.
Okay, Doke. Would anyone like to make a motion to suspend the rules so that Mr. Matuza? Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Clarence.
And by exercises.
You are.
Clarence, 226A, South Webster Avenue. I'm opposed to the request for a number of reasons. One, you currently have the code, the zoning code, is being reviewed. Do you have a consultant? You're paying dollars in the code. I can't see it varying from what you're at. Well, that's not done yet, and I'm aware that most surrounding communities have 9 foot stalls. We don't always like the 10 one. When I say, meaning we the staff of the village, the government. Have you ever had to get our game?
Yep.
And you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not sure I've said that. And the other question who asked it, but if you granted for the edit stall, they can then put for the others. Okay. And the next item on was for a same time kind of request, but that's going to be for the public, so where are you going to draw the line? Mm-hmm. I don't think you should do anything with these until you get that in the zoning code to see what comes out of that. maybe you want to compromise it at that time, make them 9.5, but I can't see it reducing to 9 or 8.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
So I won't come back for the next item.
You won't? Okay.
The comments apply to that one as well.
Okie doke. Thank you. Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
I would move to approve the new stalls and new stalls only being smaller than our zoning code allows currently.
To go to a 9 by 18.
With the understanding that's not public parking, that's employee parking.
Okay. I have a second. Trustee Harris?
With one clarification, I want to double check. The smaller size, President Rafter, you said 9 by 18. I believe what we're looking for is 9 by 20.
9 by 20, sorry. Yep. Second?
That okay. I hope.
Any discussion? Trustee Sampson?
Question. I would understand if there was concern about an applicant gaming, you know, they gaming the system, they need a certain number of spots by code, depending on what their use of their building is. And if you make it 9 feet, you can get more and maybe reach the threshold. But in cases where that's not an issue, where they're comfortably above the minimum, why do we have an interest? To me, it would seem like it's a self-correcting problem. If someone has uncomfortable parking, if they're a commercial outfit, or even if they're have employees that use the lots, so that's a dispute between them and their customers or them and their. I guess I could see if parking is insufficient, that's a problem for the new owner, or you can't sell the building as easily. But I guess it's not a question; it's just an observation that as long as it's not a matter of gaming the system to cram more in and say we've got parking when you really don't. Why do we care? Why do we care if somebody wants to make it 8 by 18? They only want subcompacts because they're in some green business.
I believe the answer to that is we set the minimum dimensions, and right now our minimum dimensions are, 10 by 20, and there's only so much land available, and a developer wants to come in, they want to maximize the number of parking stalls that they can provide, but they only have limited space available, so they can achieve more parking stalls with the 9 by 18 stall dimensions compared to the 10 by 20.
Sure, and I understand that, but what's our, I guess I'll come to the meeting where we redo the ordinance or that's discussed, but, what's the case for the 10 by 20? It's more comfortable, but should we be mandating that, or is that up to the business owner? That's just a philosophical.
Right. Answer, yeah. And I think the length is more a function of what are they providing for a drive aisle width, right?
Yep.
You can get by with an 18-foot long stall if you provide a 24-foot wide drive aisle. So
that's a question I should ask in planning and zoning, but it's
Trustee Dyer.
I just have a comment. We've had conversation about how our zoning code keeps us from meeting our comprehensive plan. Well, this is one of those things. I mean, you want more density, but you got to park them. You can't have it both ways. What do we want? I mean, it's. I looked these up before Plan Commission, and there's some lot smaller than the what they're currently requesting here. I was kind of surprised at that, because first I was really against it, because you don't have a big van, and you're taking kids out, and you're, all those kind of things. But when you think about it, how can you get a density and not and provide that kind of, you're wasting a lot of space in a small community like that.
Yeah. When I look at this, to answer Clarence's question, where do you draw the line, I think as with any exception, you look at the case. And with this case, here's a building that just added, almost doubled
the number of people who come into our community to work every day. And to Trustee Dart's point, you need to be able to make room for that. If we're going below what standard is for other areas, then I'd have concern. With this being a private entity, and they're asking for this limited number, as Trustee Harris spoke to, I think it's a fair request.
One additional, and just to be on the right side of the issue, with the stormwater issues, the more pervious surface you have, and if we've got something that arguably is increasing the amount of area that's got to be paved, that's not, as Trustee Dart said, in line with our goals, larger goals.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve, with the caveat that it's only for the new parking spaces, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, request for smaller than required parking stalls at 400 Broadview Drive, Langley Elementary School. Trevor.
Very similar request to the last one, with the exception of we have some, they are requesting 9-foot width, but then they do have some stalls that are 19-foot in length. They're adding quite a bit more parking. They don't have an easement known with the YMCA, although they do share parking. All turn modifications fit their school buses and other larger vehicles, so their turn configurations. Yes, this just actually their auditorium requires even more parking than what they're able to provide on this site. So this is just kind of doing as best they can.
Okay.
Trevor, what was that last part again? What?
Their auditorium actually requires additional parking, but they're like grandfathered in, or they're not conforming. The size of their auditorium, and I had it in my notes. Brought the wrong packet with me, but the size of their auditorium requires additional parking, and I believe that's the reason for the modifications here. But they're an existing non-conforming use. They're grandfathered in with their number of parking stalls, is what I should say. So this is meeting the need as much as they can.
So where are they adding the stalls?
They're adding stalls up here on the north end of the turnaround. Right now that's currently green space. And then I believe these are currently slanted stalls, and they're adding, I believe they're picking up some space by doing the perpendicular, 90 degrees.
That's tight in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's tight in there.
Believe it or not, their bus can make this turn here. I did ask that. But yes.
But as a parking lot,
yes.
It's tight the way
it's
it is.
It's a busy parking lot.
Yeah.
That and the Y.
Right.
It's okay. Any other questions for Trevor?
I have a question for Sean.
Okay.
Sean, when you have angle parking versus the
90 degrees.
Yeah, is it you get more in there than doing that?
Typically get more parking.
It's just harder to get in and out.
Right. You typically get more parking spaces with a 90-degree parking configuration. I'm surprised that they have a combination of both. Typically you don't see that. It's one way you have angled parking.
Maybe that's because their traffic is one way. We can do that. We go in over there. I was just there today because they haven't got it in there.
Okay. That won't work. Okay. Their drive aisle width is 24 feet.
Okay. Well, we may have to back it up.
That's a fairly wide one-way driveway aisle.
So our zoning ordinance requires 24 for 90-degree parking. And so a lot of times you do the angle of parking to get narrower drive out. So I think it goes down to 18 feet if you have 30 or 60-degree parking. So I believe they're on the west side here, I believe they have them angled so that they can meet that 24-foot drive out width.
Before I accept a motion on this, questions come up. Should this be coming to the village board or should this be going to the Board of Appeals?
No, so this is actually a change in our ordinance that we made a number of years ago when CP was going through their renovation project. We had this strict 10 by 20 standard, and we didn't want to change it to, the request was made to change it to 9 by 18. At that time, we didn't want to change it to 9 by 18 for everyone. So we decided, we elected if they come through, they can get a special exception on a case-by-case basis. So this is in our, this process is in our zoning code. It's not a variance because it is allowed in our zoning code. It's more of an exception. It's, I guess, similar, but...
From a legal perspective, Attorney Guest?
Well, I haven't seen the protocol that Trevor just referenced, but, I mean, if it's in the books as a procedural alternative, I don't see any problem.
Okay.
And will they be maintaining some of the 10 by 20 existing? Do we know?
I believe they'll be all going down to 9 by
so 10, 19
or 20, or, right.
Okay. I'll accept the motion on this item.
Just for the record, we had someone in opposition.
We did receive a letter from Marion Kloss, resident of Alloway. I do not want smaller parking spots at Plain Lane School. I'm a grandparent and need that extra width. Thank you to Marion for sharing your opinion with us.
One last question to clarify. If they're at 10 by 18 or 10 by 20 now, and the alley width, the travel lane is 24, that's pretty comfortable. If you squeeze the width of the parking spot, you want more room to take a wider turn in there. That 24 is what it is today and will be tomorrow if they go to this, and that 24 is still generous.
So right now you can faintly see the existing conditions here in that dash mark. So they're angled right now. So this currently is narrower than 24. And that's because they have the angled parking on both sides. And then I believe on this side, it's a lot wider of a drive aisle.
Okay. Yes. So it's kind of a wash. You trade off, the trade-off of going smaller is we give you more room. The codes give you more room.
Right.
Okay. And that's already built into the code, so.
I believe I know what you're asking here. You're asking the trade-off of going to the angled parking is you have a smaller drive aisle, or?
Yeah, and the width of the stall.
Okay.
If on those ones that are now 10 and they want to go smaller.
No, so it's regardless of the width of the stall, it's 24 if it's a 90-degree parking stall.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But it'll happen to get wider just because of the fact they're going from the angle.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Sampson.
Move to approve the request.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Just, I would encourage the two parties to talk to distinguish who owns what. I find it hard to believe that the public school system hasn't talked to the YMCA and vice versa on that. I find that to be odd. I would encourage them to talk to one another and figure out who's got what.
This area that's being improved does belong to the school system. So if the roles were reversed, yes, we would probably require that they speak to each other. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Do we know what the parking stall widths are on the other side of the Y? Where they have angled parking? I get claustrophobic whenever I go into that one.
The fact that there's can openers hanging on each stall could indicate that they're a little narrow.
And I'm equating that feeling to a school parking lot. And that concerns me. To Clarence's point earlier, where do you draw the line? You look at the individual instance, and you go through that lot, and it's tight. And if they fit our, if those are 10 by 20 stalls, or 10 by 18, whatever they might be, that's tight getting in and out and getting through. And if they're asking for something narrower on the other side with much the same configuration and with people dropping off kids and everything, I have a safety concern.
Well, I think, if you can move that measurement tool better, you can just move that out, right? Your ability to maneuver in and out of that stall is dependent on two things. One, the stall dimensions, and the drive aisle width. In this particular case, because there is a car in the drive aisle, you can tell that drive aisle, that existing drive aisle width is less than 24. I don't know. Oh, good, you can measure it. 13 feet. That makes it tough to get in and out. Now, if we were to go over, if we could bring up the site plan that the Green Bay School District is proposing, they're proposing a wide drive aisle width, 24 feet. That's pretty generous for one way. That should be more than enough for them to get in and out. I don't see the issue with that. And it appears that, pointer. That area that they've marked on the east side of the parking lot, on the east side of the parking lot down right there. I don't know if at one time they had allowed parallel parking adjacent to that drive aisle, but it appears that they've marked that out where they're not going to allow people to park there anymore, providing even more room to maneuver in and out of a parking stall. I don't know.
And you would need that for the bus to turn, get around, right?
And probably to help, with buses, yep.
And the fire engine.
And the fire engine, yep.
So you don't have any concern about this design?
Not with that drive aisle width, 24 feet, no.
Okay. That was my concern.
President Rector?
Yes.
I'm trying to understand the need in that. We, again, looking at a case-by-case basis, there doesn't seem to be any expansion taking place. I'm not aware of any complaints, or nothing's been mentioned that they've had problems in terms of number of spaces. I realize that they may not be up to the preferred number of spaces for the auditorium, but we have a grandfathered exception, variance, I don't know the proper terminology. All those things are, as far as I know, in place. So
why is there a need to make a change? If we're going to be looking at adjusting the zoning code for the other one, they were adding spaces. They had to do something to accommodate the additional tenants. In this one, I don't see where the addition is required. Maybe I'm missing something.
Could it be because they, in theory, have an agreement with the Y where Y customers are parking in that lot as well?
Could be.
Or park customers for Langley Park.
Yeah, that's true too. I know they're doing it at this time because they're improving the parking lot at this time, but maybe it's been an ongoing problem for them. I don't know. And without a representative here, I wouldn't be able to give you an accurate answer.
Well, a lot of kids do get dropped off on Libel along the street. This would allow people, if they were to use this traffic pattern, to drop the kids off maybe in front of the school. I don't know. Picking up and dropping off, Jason, would be an issue.
Are they? Yeah.
Okay.
They're using, as far as picking up at the school letting out, they're using Ascension Church as a parking lot and crossing.
That's
and you're walking and going on for years. Any more parking is what Jesse's been, the principal, been looking for to help reduce that.
And that is true. When you drive down Libel, it's school time. Mm-hmm. They're all crossing the street.
So the trade-off is, even if it is a tighter parking lot, and as President Rafter said, has some concerns about that and kids starting off, it's still better than having kids crossing Libel. And I've gone through there 3:15, and it's tons of traffic on both sides of the
people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Jason. Okay, we have a motion second. Any further discussion? It's been a good discussion. All those in favor of approving the plan, the request, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Aye. Okay.
Two.
We have two nay. Trustee Harris and Trustee Green. Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 12, action regarding petition from Andrea Lynn Burkle requesting the rezoning of parcel AL-1233-1 located at 120 East Alloway Avenue and legally described as Libel's addition with 82.5 foot of lots 17 and 18 block 1 from C professional office maintenance district to commercial district. That was a mouthful. But this is the property that used to be Brian's barbershop on Alloway Avenue, just east of Webster. Trevor, do you want to have anything to say on this?
Nothing really. It's not mentioned in the memo. It's an existing non-conforming. The new buyer is looking at opening up a pet grooming business within the location of the old barbershop. So that's the need for commercial. And then I think the item right after this would be a conditional use to allow for the residential component that's currently there to remain. Planning Commission did discuss this at last night's meeting and did recommend approval for both this one and the item to follow.
Okay, thank you. I have a motion on this item. Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
To schedule a hearing.
To schedule a hearing.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I would hope our new zoning code would allow for this. Seems to me like it's not that big of a change from a barbershop and a residence, and it's been functioning well there for ever. When did Brian's barbershop open?
in the 50s.
Probably close to 60 years ago.
So.
I just don't think you have a whole lot of people at Brian's Barbershop barking.
This is true.
Which would be a concern.
And that was brought up last night, and they only like are dealing with one animal at a time.
So they wouldn't be boarding or keeping or anything?
Nope.
Okay.
And my concern with it going commercial is we've had other properties go straight commercial before, and then residents need to realize once that happens, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the business that's going in. Yeah. That opens the floodgates for anything within commercial. So.
And residents were concerned about that last night.
And so everybody just needs to be aware of that.
But we do not currently have a way to zone it as mixed use, so.
I'm hoping we solve that problem.
That is looking good, I think, for our future.
Okay, so we have a motion to schedule a public hearing in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 13. It's a request from Andrea Lynn Burkle for the approval of residential and retail trade services mixed use on a conditional use permit, I apologize, on that property. That's not to schedule a hearing, correct? And that's to schedule a hearing for that. Trustee Green.
Move to schedule a hearing.
Thank you. Second. Trustee Harris, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 14, action regarding petition from Thomas O'Rourke requesting the rezoning of parcel AL 1038 located at 535 Green Avenue and legally described as 21,613 square feet green and Broman subdivision 1E 100 foot, 188 foot, on and on and on. But it is a request from village owned to commercial district to schedule a hearing. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to schedule a hearing.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 15, petition from Thomas O'Rourke requesting conditional use permit approval for residential and retail trade service mixed use on that same parcel. Do I have a motion? Trustee Dart.
Do I have to do we have to have a hearing here?
Yeah, we need a hearing.
Okay.
So you're approving?
I will.
To schedule a hearing. Trustee Green.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 16, petition from McDonald's USA LLC requesting final approval of a planned development district to renovate the existing drive-through restaurant on the parcel at 1903 South Webster Avenue and legally described as it is on your agenda. It's to schedule a hearing. Trustee Green.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Sampson, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 17, Public Works Minutes, dated May 15th. We'll talk about item number 17A, Newland Group Dairy Queen Sanitary Sewer Agreement Amendment. Sean?
City of DePere is asking to connect to the village sanitary sewer located in the southwest corner of the village. There's an existing sanitary sewer line owned by the village just south of Andalusia Court. There's a business that will be building behind Dairy Queen, and they would like to connect to our sanitary sewer. There is an existing agreement between the village, the city, and Newwater allowing connection to one of our sanitary sewers. The new connection will require an amendment to the old agreement, the agreement that was put together in 1969. The village attorney has reviewed and is okay with the amended agreement. Staff recommends approval of the amended agreement.
Thank you very much.
Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? I'd like to see two communities working together so you don't have to have added costs. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item B, purchase of multi-purpose truck chassis.
This year the village will be purchasing a multi-purpose truck for plowing and hauling purposes. The new truck will replace two older trucks the village currently owns, a dump truck and a plow truck. Bob and Jim have received three quotes for the purchase of truck chassis and truck equipment. The total cost for the truck chassis and equipment is $197,176. That is a little bit more than what we estimated in the equipment plan. However, the sale of both trucks should cover the difference. The difference of being roughly $22,000. Staff recommends that we purchase the Western Star 4700 SB for the truck chassis, and they're recommending purchase the equipment from Truck Equipment Inc. The equipment includes a 17-foot stainless steel box, 12-foot plow, and that would be a plastic or poly plow, 11-foot wing, tailgate spreader, and a hydraulic system. Yes, I would recommend to this committee to move ahead with purchase of Western Star 4700 SB and truck equipment provided by Truck Equipment Inc.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dunn.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? I would just like to highlight what Mr. Matuzak said earlier about our Public Works Department doing a great job and our whole staff doing a great job. So, Sean, to you and your staff, instead of buying two trucks, we found a way to consolidate the need into one solution that's saving us a lot of money long term. So thank you for that. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item 17C, 2019 Street Reconstruction Inspection and Staking Services.
End of April, we had sent out an RFP to a handful of consultants for construction inspection and staking. We had received five proposals. We had reviewed the proposals, and based on availability and cost, we're recommending that JT Engineering be hired for the construction inspection of the O1 project. O1 project includes the reconstruction of Oakwood, Oak Hill, and Summit Street. We're recommending that Robert E. Lee be selected for the inspection of the O2 project, and that they also be selected to construction stake both projects. Total cost of the professional services is $176,350, and we had budgeted for $185,000 in the recent bonding of our capital improvement projects. Staff is recommending approval of award to JT and Robert E. Lee for inspection and staking services.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
Quick question.
Yes.
In terms of staking, is there a reason to stay with Robert E. Lee with them doing the inspection?
Yes.
Is that part of the rationale?
Yeah, we there was another firm that had provided a lower cost, but to avoid the additional coordination with another party involved, it just made sense to stick with one of the firms providing the inspection.
So our anticipation is that the projects will run more smoothly because of this.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to abstain. My wife is an employee of JT Engineering.
Okay. Thank you. We have six ayes and one abstain. Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 17E, Recycling Program Annual Report to WDNR.
Actually, we need to back up one.
Thank you.
D.
D. Doty Elementary SRTS Professional Services Contract.
Earlier this year, the village had accepted a DOT grant for the construction of a sidewalk adjacent to Doty Elementary School. Spring of this year, staff had interviewed three consulting firms for the design of the sidewalk project. JT Engineering was selected by staff for the design and preparation of plans. JT has recently put together a design services contract. The cost of the design services contract is $54,461.51. We have reviewed and we are recommending that recommending approval of the design services contract.
Thank you. I have a motion on the same. Trustee Gunnar.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'll abstain from that one as well.
Thank you. Motion passes. Action 17EE, Recycling Program Annual Report to WDNR.
Spring of every year, staff puts together an annual report to the DNR summarizing the village's recycling program tonnages and costs. Village collects recyclables on curbside every other week. In 2018, the village collected 1,185 tons of recyclables. Those recyclables are brought to Brown County Transfer Station off of Broadway. The things I'd like to point out. Of the 1,185 tons of recyclables that were collected, 13 tons consisted of aluminum containers, 276 tons consisted of corrugated cardboard, roughly speaking, 300 tons of glass containers, 75 tons of newspaper, 84 tons of plastic containers, 410 tons of residential mixed paper, 31 tons of steel and bimetal containers. We also had collected, down at the LeBron drop-off site, we had collected electronics, major appliances, used oil, and yard waste. But we also had the spring and fall cleanup to collect leaves and yard waste. But in 2018, we had collected 41,626 pounds of electronics down at the drop-off site, 32,312 pounds of major appliances. We collected 1,675 gallons of used oil and collected just under 7,200 cubic yards of yard waste. The cost of a recycling program is slightly less than $510,000. Any questions?
No, sir. For this report, it doesn't require a signature. This is a report that you're submitting, correct?
Yeah, I submitted it.
So really what we're doing, we're not approving the report. No. We're looking for some...
Just discussion. This is just a discussion purposes.
Okay.
We could have, because it's an action, we could accept in place on file. We could accept a motion for that.
Move to accept the recycling program annual report.
Thank you. Trustee Harris has a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. 17F, brush collection and disposal.
Did you want to talk about this item on next agenda item?
Yeah, why don't we, if you don't mind, we'll combine that with item 18. I think there's something on here. I didn't notice it was on there. I wouldn't have said anything.
Okay, so you want to move that into discussion on 18?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Okay. 17G, Bethel Baptist Professional Services.
We have, the village has recently accepted a DNR grant for the design and construction of a Bethel Baptist pond. McMahon has put together a professional service agreement to finalize the design to bid, to provide and assist with construction inspection. The total cost of this service without the additional construction services is $24,500. I'm hopeful that we have availability next year to assist with the inspection and the cost for the additional construction services will be needed. So review it and would recommend approval of this professional service agreement.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Gettner. We have a second. Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We're going to have unfunded mandates. You might as well get some grants for it. Right?
We're
going to
be interrupting
the thing. Item number 18, update on continuous improvement program. Mr. Lang and staff have kicked off this program to look at efficiencies in our way of doing our business, not only to cut costs, but to improve our overall ability to serve the community. So here's a great update from Mr. Lang.
I thought you did a great update, right? Yes, as a group that went through the training with NWTC on the continuous improvement, we selected as a group a project or a process that we currently use in the village to identify the opportunities for improvement and identify areas that indicate waste. And again, it's the process that generates the waste. It's not people that generate the waste. That's very important because past practices of how things have been done, you have to look at those and determine is that the best process. And what we're looking at is how we dispose or get rid of the yard waste, the brush collection that takes place curbside and or through parks removing trees and such. Over the years, just to give you a little background, over the years at LeBrun, at one point, it was a burner. At one point, the village had chippers that circled the village over and over, chipping all the brush. Fast forward to the most recent years, street department was doing a direct haul to Dayton and Jansen, Rockquarry, and that's where they were disposing of the brush. The process of that, one, it takes time, roughly 40-minute round trip for a truck to drive to Dayton and Jansen, so it's time away from looking at that waste aspect, and then it's a disposal charge of, I think, up to $30, $30 and some change per truck. Parks has been using the process of taking the brush from tree removals or tree trimming down to LeBrun, bringing in a tub grinder, grind those chips, utilizing those chips for either the residents, landscaping within the parks or under playgrounds.
if you run those chips through twice, they meet the Consumer Safety Product Commission's specifications on the diameters of the chip. So you could use those on the playgrounds, which saves us a lot of money. Over the years, parks would be purchasing roughly 170 yards of chips at roughly upwards of $20 a yard. So it gets very expensive. So the group has been looking at this process, and we have determined that we're going to be looking at concentrating clean brush. That's the important aspect, clean brush, to be just taken down to LeBron. We'll bring in a top grinder 2 to maybe 3 times a year and be able to utilize those chips. Once those chips are, or once everything is grown, if the village does not need the chips for the residents, playgrounds, landscaping, the contractor hauls them away and they are used for fuel at various plants throughout the state. So that's part of the agreement that we would be entertaining in whomever comes in to do this work. I go back to the importance of the clean. Once we are picking, we'll use spring cleanup as an example. Residents are putting out yard waste and then they throw brush on top of it. Now we've got to direct haul that to David and Jansen. It cannot sit at the farm because it decomposes. The contractors, or the tug grinder, does not want that material because he or she cannot then dispose of that at a power plant or whomever is using the material. So it's important that we are focusing on education as part of this process, how to better educate the residents and the importance of why things need to be separate. It's a matter of saving time and money and be able to reuse those resources, which is better than putting it into a landfill. We end up with a lot of logs, and we'll end up with a lot of them in the very near future with Emerald Ash Borer. We're reaching out to potential, I'll use the term contractors, that may have an interest in taking those logs that would be then cut into boards to be utilized for Habitat for Humanity or other projects such as that. Superior Schools, Green Bay Schools, they all have classes that, you know, they're teaching buildings. So if we could provide that opportunity at no cost, because that would be part of the contractor coming in, it's a great opportunity to use those resources. So I really stress the fact that part of this is the education aspect. We're not reducing the service. We're improving our methods to be able to keep providing the service. Confusion every spring, every fall is when is spring cleanup? What does spring cleanup consist of? And we need to educate people not to consolidate everything into one pile, because that is going to require us to make additional trips. So that is a key component to this whole aspect, is the education. We're also looking at the last couple of years is probably a prime example of when does spring start. Well, we're still waiting for it, I think. But we usually had the spring cleanup starting in the first part of April and run into later part of March, or excuse me, so April, later part of April. But the last few years, we've had wet weather, snow, so if we push that back a couple weeks to better suit the changing springtime, that maybe that will be more efficient for people and more efficient for us. The downside to that is you get it early spring, then what? So you have to play that little bit of a juggling match or a juggling game. What we really want to stress to the residents, though, is when we do set a schedule, that's the schedule. We do extend based on circumstances, but we can't put If we extend it in a week, there's got to be an end point, because you can't continuously go back. You're never going to get on to that next process. The street department, Sean, is looking at trying to utilize the staff, and the staff is interested in doing a lot more of the street repair, small street repair. And you get a water break that typically we have to wait for a contractor to come back in to do that repair, the asphalt. If we can free up time based on efficiencies by not driving to Dana and Jansen, doing at the run, sticking to more of a schedule, the items are separated accordingly, it will be more efficient and we'll be able to pick up and do some of these additional items that we have been contracting for. And then we can lower that contract cost. So that's part of what we're at right now. We've been meeting for 8-9 weeks. It's been great diversity of staff that's involved in this. And right now it's still a little confusing out there for some of the residents, but the schedule that was put out in the All About Alloway that's been posted on our website, it's been sent out on Facebook posts, Twitter, and all those other social media aspects. This is the schedule, and this is what we're asking people to do. That's where we're at. Hopefully we'll have more to come. You indicated earlier the truck purchase. That's this continuous improvement aspect, and we're trying to get to a point where we're looking at continuous improvement on everything we do.
It's part of our culture.
We make it a culture. We have very talented staff that want to get involved. So.
You were talking about pushing back the date for the spring, and I think that makes a whole lot of sense. It's a whole lot easier if we feel the need to do things earlier, but if residents know this is the last date it's going to be done and they can count on that, they can count on it, right?
Yeah, one of the things that we need to, again, is to try, if we can get more and more people signed up for the emails, the Facebook, and be able to have that social media outreach, the better off we're going to be. So we continuously promote that. And our summer intern that works on the communication aspect, that's one of her primary goals. And she's going to help produce some better material for the residents, for better education, as far as what we're looking at as a process, and should be very helpful.
Yeah. And in Public Works, we talked about even considering doing a trifold brochure that actually gets mailed out to every household. And it only speaks to that with big pictures, so we know what the heck what is brush, what is what.
One of the things that, and I'll give Trevor the credit on this one, is when we're talking about why are you making the change, there has to be a reason. And so if we can show what that reason is, it better helps people understand truly why are we doing it the way we're doing it. The whole goal is to be more efficient, provide the services. And in order to do that, we have to be more efficient. And we want to continue to provide the services that the residents have been long receiving.
I have a request from the floor to suspend the rules. Trustee Harris?
Motion to suspend.
Wait a second. Trustee Dart, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Clarence?
One comment and a question. First of all, a little embarrassed. I mentioned this particular thing. The area that didn't know what was going on, where I was going to some of your way ahead of me, which is great. And your efforts of trying to reach people, which is always been a problem.
Clarence, I am so sorry to ask you to do this, but could you come up here?
Sure.
Thank you.
Here,
oh, there you go.
Clarence.
Oh,
okay.
I'll see you.
And if you could give us your name and address, sir.
Sure.
2680 Southwest Avenue.
Thank you.
As I said, I'm happy to see that you're working on this aspect. Do you envision that someday you will go back to a year-round collection of brush like it used to be, which has been a complaint of residents, and even me for that matter, we have no outlet for 2 months to get anything on. Have you considered that or not?
What were, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What we're looking at also is...
I'll send my you.
We're looking at how LeBrun yard waste is laid out. We can try to make that more efficient, make it a little bit larger so that it can take more material and therefore maybe it can be opened more often. And you know, looking at how could it be opened more often, or what if there are... ideas have been thrown out as stickers for vehicles, or you know, that quick in and out, video surveillance so that you can check in the event someone does throw something that's not supposed to go there. One of the biggest fears with these, when you have this pile, you don't know what's really under it. And if we are taking on any liabilities as we're taking material from our village and dumping it into Dana and Jansen's quarry. So there is that aspect. So if it's separated, it's a little much easier for us to really know what's going into each pile and ultimately wood chips and everything else. So.
Yeah. I was going to say that these to see you're addressing the issue of how many 400 people are in the campers. You've got a lot more tools than we ever had, you know, with computers and so forth. And I know how difficult it is to educate people out there. And even if you finally have to use the nailing, which is also expensive, but I'd be very pleased to see that you guys are putting on the label.
Thank you.
You don't take back anything I said earlier.
We're not going to sing.
Clarence, you should be a reporter. You did a good job there. I'll accept the motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you very much, team. Keep it up. Item number 19, future agenda items. Is there anything the board would like to see? Trustee Harris.
Yes. A few months ago, we had a discussion about the intersection of Riverside and 172. Representative from Wisconsin DOT was going to get back to us about the crosswalk, the thicker lined crosswalk, and whether or not that was an option. I'm not aware of any follow-up with that, so maybe we can get an update from the DOT representative down the road.
Great, thank you for bringing that up. Is there anything else board members would like to see on a future agenda item? With the approval from Senator Kohler, the Joint Finance Committee, would it make sense for us to do a resolution with a letter to the governor? So we should put that on agenda item. Anything else? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session. Convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(e), deliberating, negotiating, or purchasing public properties, the investing in public funds, or conducting the other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. Specifically, TIF development proposal for 1905-1927 South Webster Avenue. Do I have any motion to that effect?
Move to adjourn to closed session.
Trustee Sampson. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
We're in closed session. Thank you very much, everyone, for being